We continue while learning Leilinish, Mastavim, Ben Menachemish, and Mecham Yaakov, and Mitchas Leo. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Tes, Mishnah Beis. There is a general principle in the Gemara that's known as Mitaltele de Yasme, Lo Mishtabde, Lebaal Chov. The movable objects of Yesomim, of orphans, where the father passed away and the estate falls to them, so the movable objects of that estate are not Meshubad. There is no lien upon those Mitaltel, those movable objects, to a Baal Chov to pay back any potential creditor. So we'll see how that applies in our Mishnah. And according to the Chachamim, that applies as well to a Ksuva. So that means that an almana, the widow, is not going to collect her Ksuva, because she's almost like a creditor. She's not going to collect her Ksuva from the Yarshim, from the children of the deceased, but from the from Metaltel, from movable objects, only from Karka. Not from money, not from cash, not from movables that they got by Yerusha. The only thing that will go to pay the ksuva is karka, is movable object. So Mishnah is coming to teach us when we have most coins, cash, and metaltel that the father who passed away left, let's say in the hands of someone else. So now it's not the Yerusha. Let's say there's money or movable objects that the father would passed away in, when he was alive, he left a pikado in a deposit, or a milvo, there was a loan. There was money that were in the hands of someone else. So since these items did not come to the hands of the Yorshim, so the Tanoim and our Mishnah will debate whether a Baal Chov, a creditor, or the Almana have the right to collect from these items, as we will see. Misha meis v'hiniach isha u Baal Chov v'yorshin, someone who passes away. And now we have several people who want his money, who are demanding payment. His wife, who is demanding the ksuba, or Baal Chov, who is a creditor, let's say, because this person who passed away owes money to a malve. So he's coming to demand money from the estate. And the Yorshin, of course, you have the children who are the inheritors. They're demanding their zechus, their privilege in the Yerusha. So v'hayalo pikadon o milve biyad acherim. And this person who passed away had a deposit or money that he had given to someone else, which means he gave a pikadon to someone else, for someone else to watch, or he lent money to someone else in his lifetime. And now the pikadon and the milva are in that person's hands. So the question is whether our woman, the almana, or the Baal Chov, or the Yorshim, have the rights to that pikadon or that milve money that's in the hands of someone else. So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, yinasnu la koshel shebahem. Literally means, give that money to the weakest amongst them. So we want to know who has priority here. A woman's maid wants to collect her ksuva, or Baal Chov wants to collect his loan, and the children want to get their Yerusha. And this pikadon or milveh money or object are in the hands of someone else. It is a movable object. We want to know, okay, that's money that's owed to the deceased. So now, since it's owed to the deceased, so now it's money that's potentially there to pay out the woman, the almana, or the Baal Chov, the creditor, or the children as Yorshim. Who gets it? So Rabbi Tarfon says, the weakest amongst them. Of course, we don't know what that means. So the Gemara has a machlokes what that means. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says, Omer, lekoshel sheberaya. What does that mean? The weakest amongst them with respect to his proof. So that's what we call chalash beraayosav. Rashi explains that it refers to the person whose shtar, whose contract, whose deed, whatever it may be, is whose document has a later date. Because the later date that you have on a shtar, so the later, the less chance you can collect from the lekuchos, from the buyers, from those who purchased. If you have an earlier date, so there's the possibility that there was property, there were items that were sold to someone else, and because your shtar has an earlier date and that sale was after that date, that person didn't have the right to sell the property at all, and therefore you can confiscate it. So the person who has the least of the rayos of the proofs is the person whose shtar has the latest time. And who is that? That's the Baal Chov. Why is that the Baal Chov? Why is that the Malveh? Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's considered one with the latest date on it, because, let's say, the woman has a ksuba. So that's something that was written a long time ago. And the Yorshim have it into Oraisa, where they are Yoresh, any property that the father had. So who's considered the person who has the weakest of the Rayos is the person who has a document. The Yorshim don't need a document. And the two people with a document are either the woman or the Baal Chov. The Baal Chov's document has a later date. He's the weakest amongst them, and therefore will have the hardest time trying to collect his loan. So therefore, we give him these items, the Pikadon of the Milva B'Yalachim. He gets priority. That's the Koshel Shebaraya. That's the Koshel Shebahem. The weakest amongst them is the Baal Chov, is the Malveh. Rabbi Yochanan, this is in the Gemara. That was all Rabbi Yosef Birchanina's explanation of what the Koshel, the weakest amongst them, is. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, L'ksuvas Isha. Now, the woman is called the Koshel. Why is she considered the weaker one? Because with respect to her ksuva, the derech of a woman, the manner is not to go after, to go around to try to find where he has karka to collect, and therefore she's considered the weakest amongst them. Now, Rabbi Tarfon, who says you give it to the Koshel, we said we're not sure who this is, either it's the woman for the Ksuva or the Baal Chov, he holds that the money and the metaltalin, that the mace that the deceased left in the hands of someone else, since they did not come to the hands of the Yorshim yet, the Baal Chov and the Almana have the right to collect from them. So meaning, we started the Mishnah by introducing the principle of metaltale diyasme, the movable objects of Yisomim, of the Yorshim, of the orphans, are not meshuba to pay back a Baal Chov. So they're not meshuba to pay back the woman's ksuva from that, nor a malveh. So why is that happening here? So the answer is because we're speaking about a case where that cash or that metaltalin has not yet come to the hands of the Yorshim. They're in the hands of someone else. Pikadon that was given to someone else, money that was lent to someone else. So that's why, according to Rabbi Tarfon, we're not sure which one is the Koshel, but at the end of the day, whether it's the Alman or the Baal Chov, they can collect from these movable objects, even though normally they don't when there's a Yerusha, because there is no Yerusha yet. These items have yet to fall to the Yoresh. You'll say, what do you mean? The father passed away. That's true, but this wasn't money that was in the hands of the father. This is money, a pikadon, a deposit of money that was in the hands in someone else's hands. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Maracham in Badin. So let's go back. We're speaking about a case someone died. He left a wife, a Baal Chov, and Yorshim. And this person who died had a pikadon in the hands of someone else. So they weren't now in the hands of the Yorshim just yet. Rabbi Tarfon said he'd give it to the weakest amongst them. Who's the weakest? Either the woman or the Baal Chov. And Rabbi Akiva says, Ein Maracham in Badin. No, we don't have any rachmanis when it comes to halacha. When the din is a certain way, you follow the halacha. So you don't give it to the weakest amongst them. Elo yinastun la Yorshim. You give it to the Yorshim, to the orphans. Why? Because they are zocha. They are supposed to merit to have the right to the pikadon or the milva once their father passed away. Because that's money that's really coming to them. It's money that was owed to the father. It's a deposit that's owed to the father. So why does that not belong to the Yorshim? Since it belongs to the Yorshim and they're movable, so we can't, the Almana and the Baal Chov and the Malveh can't collect from them. And he explains why this is. Shekulan Srichin Shvua, whoever wants to come to collect from the Yorshim, let's say the Malveh or the Almana or the widow, they have to swear before they collect. That's the halacha. Before they collect the ksuva, the woman has to swear to the Yorshim, to the Yisomim, to the orphans, that I haven't collected my ksuva just yet. My husband, maybe their father, has not yet given me any part of the ksuva yet. Or a malveh has to come, and the Yorshim say, we're not giving you. What do you mean? Our father, he shows them the malveh shows them the document. They say, maybe it's possible that our father already paid you part of the loan. He has to swear that it's not so. So since they have their rights, the malveh, the Baal Chov, that the father owed money to, or the almana, his wife, the almana, the widow, who he owes the ksuva to, these people have less rights to because of the fact that they have to take a shvua. Ve'ein ha'yorshim shrichin shvua. But the yorshim don't need to be zocha in the nichse yerusha. They don't have to take a shvua because that the chasim are there. They're in their rishus, and it's as if they came to their hands already. And therefore, the baal chov and the almana, according to Rabbi Akiva, cannot collect from the pikadon and the milveh because those are considered movable objects that are already in the hands of the yorshim. And we follow the principle of metatale diasme, movable objects of yisomim are not meshuba to pay back a baal chov or a ksuva. Perek tes, Mishnah Gimel, a continuation of the previous Mishnah, and we're dealing with a baal chov, a malveh, someone who's owed money, and an almana, who, what did they do? They seized metatalin, movable objects, from the nechasim, from the possessions of the Yerusha, from the estate, before they came to the hands of the Yorshim. So this also is a debate between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva, what the halacha is. Hiniach peros, tulushin minakarka, person passes away, and he left fruit produce that was already detached, already harvested from the ground, and there's a baal chov, a malveh, who this person who deceased owed money to, there's an almana, there's a widow, obviously, his wife, who was waiting for the ksuva, and there are yorshim, there are the inheritors, there are his children. So, kol hakodem zacha bohen, says the Mishnah, whoever comes to seize these peros, these fruit, this produce, is zoch, and we don't take it away from them. That means if the yorshim come and grab the peros, they're zoch, we don't take it away from them. Well, why? Well, because you'll say, hold on, don't they owe, isn't there a ksuba that's owed? Isn't there a loan that's owed? The answer is no, but the yorshim don't have to pay for movable objects to pay back the loan or pay back the ksuba. So if they seize the peros, which are metaltal and obviously movables, they don't have to, they can keep it, and they don't have to pay the ksuba out of that money, out of those that produce. If the woman, though, sees them, she's zocha. And the same thing is true of the baal chov. Now, the Gemara explains that these are the words of Rabbi Tarfon, because he holds that even doing tfisa, even seizing the objects, the metaltlin, after the person passed away, the father passed away, that's also effective. If you remember from the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva held that it's not true. Well, once the person passes away, even though these items may be in the hands of a third party, it's as if they fell to the Yorshim already. That was Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Ein Maracham in Bedin. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's not true. We assume that those items are not as part of the Yorshim, and therefore these, the woman or the Baal Chov, if they seize them, they can keep them. So that's what it be. So zach saha ish. Now the Mishnah says like this: zach saha isha. So once again, if a hiniach peros tulushim min akarka, kol hakodem zachamen. Whoever grabs them, whoever seizes them, is able to keep them, whether it's the yorshim or the isha or the baal chov. Zach saha isha yoser miksuvasa u baal chov yoser al chovo. Let's say though the almana came and seized the produce for her ksuba, but in the end she took a lot more than the value of the ksuba. She took more than 200 zuz, or if she was let's say there was a Tosefis ksuba, which was $1,000. She took more than $1,000 worth of produce, or ubal chov yosel chovo, or the baal chov comes to seize the peros for the payment of his chov from the deceased. The deceased owed him money, and now fruit, this fruit sitting there that was detached from the ground that has yet to come to the hands of the yorshim, and he seizes them, but he ended up taking more than what the loan was worth. So what do we do with the mosar, with the extra that they have to return? Hamosar. So this goes back to the previous Mishnah. The leftover, the surplus. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinasnu Lakoshel Shabahen. Whoever has the weaker one, whoever has the later shtar, as we said. So maybe that's one opinion, that's the Baal Chov, or maybe it's the Ksuvas Isha, she's the weaker one. So either way, that is... that's Rabbi Tavern's opinion. What you do with the extra? Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Maracham in Badin. No, Elinasnu Na Yorshim. You give it to the Yorshim. The Gemara explains that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not only the Moser that he holds that goes to the Yorshim. He holds that anything that was seized by the Baal Chov and the Almana of the Peres or other Metaltalin, we take away and give to the Yorshim. Why? As we said, Rav Yakiva is consistent with his opinion in the previous Mishnah. Once a person passes away, the Yorshim azocha immediately in all the Nechasim of the Yerusha, even the Metaltalin. And therefore, the Baal Chov or the woman have no right to that. So that's why we said the race of the Mishnah is all Rabbi Tarfon. But Rabbi Akiva would hold that no one zochen anything if they seize it. Only the yorshim, and that's not only true of the moser; it's true of even what they took, which is equivalent to the ksuva value or the chov value. Why? He gives the explanation once again. Shekulam tzrichin shvua, the Baal Chov and the Almana who want to collect from the Nechasim or the Yerushim need to swear that you have yet to collect from them. So therefore their rights are weak with respect to the Yerushim. Veina Yerushim tzrichin shvua to be zochen the Nechse Yerusha, as we explained in the previous Mishnah.